The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now we're joined by David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape, How Flawed Logic Puts Us All at Risk. David, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Our question this week, who is most likely to fall for misinformation? And we actually know.
Well, we have like a three-way tie within statistical uncertainty. But a bit of work that came out of Cambridge by one of my colleagues, Sander van der Linden, and his collaborators, looked at what is the profile of misinformation susceptibility. And there's been a theory for a long time that maybe Generation Z or digital natives or even elder millennials like myself would be more savvy. It turns out that's absolute nonsense. We are not savvy at all. We are more inclined to fall for disinformation, but Generation Z in particular are more aware that they fall for misinformation. So they fall for it, but they know they do. Conservatives, by contrast, fall for it at roughly equal rates, but don't believe they've fallen for it, which might tell you something about the state of the world right now.
Okay, so the message is just beware of everything you see and question it again and again and again.
Well, if you look through what they did, they broke it down by age cohorts, by political affiliation and things like that. And what you find consistently is everyone is susceptible to misinformation to different degrees. There was no one that was immune. There was a large difference in what people's perceived level. Like a lot of people who thought they were very good at spotting misinformation turned out to be useless at it. Okay. And that was particularly on the conservative end of the political spectrum. Whereabouts Generation Z, who tend to be more liberal, they do fall for roughly the same amount, in fact, slightly more, except that they are acutely aware that they're surrounded by misinformation. They're spending more time in that misinformation ecosystem. They're on TikTok, they're on Instagram, some of them are still lingering on X. So the more you're around it, the more you're exposed to it.
Now, one of the most extraordinary things is that someone has decided to go back to 9/11 and hatch a conspiracy theory.
So just to bring listeners back up to speed on back up September the 11th, because I have students that weren't born there, I have to keep reminding myself of that. Of course, this is a travesty. About 3,000 people were killed when the planes hit the Twin Towers. But immediately, as the dust was still settling over New York, conspiracy theories started to emerge. Now, they've been roundly debunked year on year on year by studies by the NIST, the Standards and Technology Group in the States, or Popular Mechanics have looked at it. But recently, Ron Johnson, I can't mix him up with John Ronson, who's a favorite author of mine, but he is the head of a Senate Investigations Committee. He has gone on a very right-wing podcast claiming that he doesn't believe the official 9/11 story, and he actually has full power to reopen an investigation, which he's threatening to do. Now, some of these canards are so old, they've become memes, like jet fuel can't melt steel beams. Well, just to give people a very brief engineering lesson, it doesn't have to. It loses its tensile strength. At the burning temperatures in the Twin Towers, It would have had about 90% of its tensile, or sorry, lost about 90% of its tensile. It looked like spaghetti. So that's why The towers collapsed as they did. Also, controlled demolitions, another favourite conspiracy theory, they go from the ground up, not from the top down. So all of his stuff, if you have a basic engineering background, is very easy to debunk. So it's very worrying that we're seeing in 2025 a renaissance of stuff that was debunked in 2001.
Now, those of us who watched the whole drama unfold, I mean, if there were to be controlled explosions, they would have been perceived at the time.
Absolutely. So I was young, when this happened, I was quite young, and I went in to my father, who's an engineer, and I went in with this kind of, it's probably a conspiracy. And my dad explained the mechanics of pancaking, which is when each successive floor of a tower falls and expels dust. He paused the video and showed it to me. And I was like, oh, so my idea is really dumb, which it was. I was very lucky to have an engineer as a father who kind of pointed this out. But these ideas, if you look at them, they fall apart under investigation. So it's kind of worrying that someone that has the power in the States to open a Senate investigation is now threatening to do so. But it does show you something about where the pulse is in America. Nothing is believed anymore.
The evidence of our own eyes from January the 6th and the footage of police being attacked and beaten up by the rioters, now being called freedom fighters and patriots and all the rest of it.
And remember, a third of Americans believe the election was stolen from Donald Trump. There's absolutely no evidence for that, but it's repetition. And this is really important with conspiracy theory and misinformation. Illusory truth is the human phenomenon that if we are exposed to a falsehood often enough, even if we know it to be false on an intellectual level, we start to believe it.
Here's a question. The election stolen from Donald Trump, and everyone, after detailed analysis, said no. And even people from his own cabinet said no, didn't happen. It was not stolen from Donald Trump. But has anyone been looking at the most recent election, the bizarre situation where he wins all seven swing states?
No.
You know, statistically very anomalous.
But this comes down to the fact that the Democrats tend to respect the democratic process, right? I mean, even look at the Al Gore scenario back in 2000, right? Whereas Trump will always scream blue murder. He will always stand up there and no matter what, because he's such a little narcissist, he will insist that he is the best, he's always won. The problem is we should ignore that, but we tend to take it seriously. We give it airtime. There is an argument that you could combat a lot of Trump's worst impulses by literally serious news organizations not covering him. And yet here we are, even in a non-Trump segment, he has percolated into it because he's just so outlandish. Unfortunately, that works for spreading misinformation because you're forced to react to it.
Even the question of the Epstein, I mean, is there a left-wing conspiracy that suggests Trump is keeping it quiet because his paws are all over it and therefore he daren't release the document, the file?
There has been, to some people have made those insinuations, but the problem is they don't get the traction because you need an entire media ecosystem to keep amplifying it. One of the things that makes a bit of conspiracy theory get really wild is if someone keeps amplifying it. And unfortunately, the right are very good at that in America. I mean, Elon Musk turned X into an amplifier for this stuff, but the left are not as coordinated, organized, or united. It's the old joke, the left find, you know, traitors and the right find allies. And there's a certain degree of truth in that as well.
David, thank you very much for joining us. That's David Robert Grimes, who's author of The Irrational Ape, How Flawed Logic Puts Us All at Risk.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.